Thank you. You may be seated. From the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 for this morning. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. A few Sundays ago, I preached on, is holiness sustainable in the life of a Christian? And then last week, we looked at starting strong and finishing well. This morning, I want to look at to tell the truth. Many of you have watched that. It's presently on television. People come in, and there's one of the three that will tell the truth about who they truly are. This morning, you and I live in a very, very interesting period of time, to say the very least. In fact, we're living in, as someone said, we are living in a combat zone in the world that you and I live in. Let me tell you, there is a personal and a worldly subjective truth which says that whatever is right for you is just okay. Just do whatever you think is right for you. And then there is God's absolute truth from his word. I think you would agree with me this morning that this ever-changing world that you and I live in, we are confronted, we are challenged. These youth down here in the world that they're growing up in, we're challenged with what is really true and what is really false out there. We live not in one world, but in reality, you and I are living in two worlds. We live in a world that is seen, and then we live in a world that is unseen. As a Christian, there's a world that's visible, and there is a world this morning that's invisible. There's this physical world, and then there is the spiritual world. There's the natural world that you and I see around us, and then there is the spiritual world. Let me tell you, this physical world that you and I live in this morning, I believe is truly, genuinely in a real mess. And much of the world this morning is engulfed in the flames of revolution as well as rebellion. And other parts of the world are sinking in a sea of decadence and disillusionment. But I believe that the real battle this morning in the world today, it's not really the battle between conservatism and liberalism or capitalism versus materialism and Marxism. It's really not all of these brush fires that you and I hear every day on the news that we're embroiled in. But I believe the real battle of the world this morning is the battle for truth versus the battle for error, of light versus darkness, of God versus Satan, and of the spirit of Christ versus the Antichrist, or the spirit of Antichrist in the world today. And this morning, what I want each one of us to take away is, how do we detect truth? How do we know what is truth when there's so much that's being put out there on the internet, so much information that's out there that we listen to, and we don't really know what is truth about this, with all of the misconceptions, with all of the lies that are purported out there in the world today? It's very easy to become very discouraged and to decide, what on earth is true? You see, liberalism and communism and Marxism and feminism and racism and humanism and materialism and socialism can only succeed to the extent that Satan and his demons succeed in the world that you and I live in. There are three things this morning I want us to look at. Number one, how do you identify false prophets? How do you identify false prophets? In the little book of 1 John that we just read from in chapter 4, John the apostle, young people, he was the only disciple that did not run away from the crucifixion. If you'll remember all those other disciples, they tucked tail and they ran and hid in the upper room and locked the doors for fear they would be the next ones hanging on a Roman cross. But John, who is known as the beloved disciple, John stayed at the cross that day. He's the one who penned these words from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And what he's doing is he's exhorting God's people to not believe in every spirit. You know, it really amazes me today that the average person on the street, what they believe and what they don't believe. It really amazes me. People will believe in evolution, but they will not believe in creation. They believe that man came from monkeys, but they refuse to believe that it was God who created man. They will believe in Muhammad or a Jim Jones, but they refuse to believe in Jesus. They believe in reincarnation, but they refuse to believe in the resurrection. They believe a scientist or they'll believe a psychologist, but they'll refuse to believe the word of Almighty God. Many people cannot recognize the wolf because the wolf is dressed in sheep's clothing. The Bible gives several marks by which you and I can identify false teachers, false prophets. Number one, their proliferation that's in the world today. They're prolific out there in the world today. How do I know who is being truthful, who's teaching truth, and who's teaching error? Well, let me tell you, in 1 John chapter 4, when John said, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Some of the fastest growing religious groups in the United States are cults. Among those are people. They're good people in a lot of those cults, but they're duped into a false belief system. I believe even though there are good people that are Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, but I can assure you, you can ask them what they believe and they will tell you the various things that they believe. Let me tell you, it may bother a lot of folks when you speak about these things, but folks, let me tell you, there are those who have reasoned this way. If Christianity is real, and if Christianity is true, and if Christianity is the only way, then why are there so many cults in America today, not to mention in the world? Why are there so many false teachers out there? Now, that does not decrease my faith in Christianity. In fact, it increases my faith in Christianity for two reasons, because Jesus himself said that false teachers and cults would be on the increase in the last days of time. Don't take my word. Look at Matthew chapter 24. Jesus is speaking about end times here. And Jesus said, "And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people." That's a fulfillment of the prophecy of Jesus, that he said there's going to be this great proliferation of false teachers and cults out there in the world. And let me tell you, it doesn't decrease my faith in Christianity because there are so many cults out there. For a second reason is because of the principle behind these false cults. In fact, when if you wanted to counterfeit a dollar bill, you wouldn't just make $1 bill. You would turn it into millions of counterfeits. And young people today, I want you to know Satan is the master deceiver. Satan is the master counterfeiter. And the Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. And let me tell you, you've got to have a real dollar bill in order to make a counterfeit dollar bill in order to come up with that. And so the vast number of false teachers should not surprise any of us. I believe we are just seeing the tip of the iceberg in the rise of cults, not only in America today, but throughout the world because of their proliferation, but secondly, because of their proclamation. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3. John said, "But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard is coming and even now is already in the world." You see, it does not matter what else a teacher or preacher believes and preaches if he is wrong about Jesus. It doesn't really matter what else is right. One thing we see that most cults deny is the deity and the lordship of Jesus Christ. What do I mean by deity, young people? Jesus is both, he is both human and divine. He is totally God, and he came as totally man, yet without sin. In 2 John chapter 7, we read this. "I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. And any group can be right about some things. I've found that when you study the cults, that all of them will hold a certain amount of truth. But that doesn't mean that they are orthodox or that they're biblical. And a group can believe in the inerrancy of the Bible, as do the Jehovah's Witnesses. A group can believe in Armageddon, that final battle that's coming one of these days, as the worldwide church of God. Many groups can believe in one God, as do the Unitarians. But if a group does not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who has come in the flesh and who is the risen, reigning Lord of all, they are false teachers." And John says in 2 John verse 11, "Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work." Not only should you and I make sure that people believe in Jesus, we better make sure they believe in the right Jesus. You see, it's possible to believe in the wrong Jesus. Paul said to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4, "For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough." There, Paul is talking about a Jesus of a different kind. I was reading about a ball player with one of the major league teams. He happens to be of the Mormon faith. And someone wrote to this ball player and they asked him the question, "Does your relationship to God make a difference in your performance as a ball player?" And this ball player responded by talking about his relationship to the Lord and how much he loved the Lord and how real the Lord was to him in his life. And reading that article, you would never know that this ball player had been duped by false teachings and did not believe in the deity of Jesus. Let me tell you, there is the proliferation out there of cults and false teachers, and there's the proclamation of these cultic false teachers. But thirdly, there is the popularity of false teachers. Look in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 5. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. False teachers will be very popular with the world. They will have great followings. They will have the world's ears. Now, popularity in and of itself is not proof positive that a preacher is from God, nor is it proof positive to say that they're not from God. There are lots of mega churches out there with good prophetic teachers that are of God. Billy Graham was certainly one among the many that are out there, but popularity in and of itself is not proof that a preacher is from God, nor is it proof that a preacher is not from God. A false prophet will tell the world what the world wants to hear, and the world will follow him gladly. He'll preach the world's philosophy. He'll see things from a worldly, secular viewpoint, and the world will take it in and gulp it down and receive it gladly. Let me tell you, also in false teachers, we see their perversion. In the little book of Jude that only has one chapter, right before the last book in the Bible, Revelation, Jude and verse 4 says, "For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you." They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ as our only sovereign and Lord. Notice their prophet. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. "Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute." In other words, there are many of them out there. It's because of their greed. These teachers will exploit you with stories. Many of them may be made up. Their condemnation has long since been hanging over them, and their destruction certainly has not been sleeping. And that's the idea of them speaking about and wanting all of this money for greedy purposes of materialism. But I want you to notice another thing about false prophets, their products. Notice what Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and 16 says. "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them." And then he asks a question: "Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" You know, there's an old saying: like pastor, like people. Does a preacher turn out Bible-believing, soul winners who believe in the deity of Jesus and who confess the lordship of Christ and who love and have an incredible passion for the Word of God? John says we better test every spirit whether or not a spirit is from God. A second takeaway today is let's look at the way of a scriptural preacher from God. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 6 gives the mark of the man of faith. John gives two specific tests of whether or not the person behind the pulpit is truly a preacher of God. First of all, we see his concession in verse 2. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now that can be translated, Jesus is the Christ who has come in the flesh from God. It's translated that way in 1 John 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You see, the acid test of a true preacher is this: does he believe that Jesus Christ was not only fully man, but that he was fully God? Does he confess the total divinity and the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you want to know whether or not a person is a true spirit filled biblical preacher, you need to find out, does he agree with what the Bible has to say about the lordship and the deity of Jesus Christ? If he does not, whatever else he professes to be, he's not a spirit-filled, heaven-announced Bible preacher sent from God. Let me ask you the question this morning. What do you believe about Jesus? You know, it's really interesting to me. I've noticed down through the years in talking with various peoples from various walks of life, from different vocations of life, when you're talking to them and you're speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ and you ask them, do you think Jesus Christ is God come to earth in human flesh? And many, many, many of them will say no. Well, folks, I want you to know God himself robed himself in human flesh, holiness, stepped out of heaven's glory, down the ivory palaces into this world of woe that you and I live in. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and you can write your name in that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to know today, Jesus Christ was God in human flesh, coming to redeem you and me, to reconcile sinful man to a holy God. When I mentioned a few weeks ago, and I reiterated this in Sunday school this morning, but it bears repeating again, if the statistic is correct that I mentioned a few weeks ago, that out of some 325 Americans, that only 8% truly believe that salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That would mean that 92% of this American population, which would be some 295 million, 8% would be somewhere around 30 million that believe that salvation comes through God's wonderful gift of grace alone. Nothing added to it. No, nothing you can do, nothing I can do. We are sinful man. And the only way we could be reconciled to a holy God and someday live forever eternally with Jesus is that God stepped out of the world and came as Jesus Christ, Messiah, Redeemer, to shed his blood for the remission of sins. He does not force himself on anyone. He says, here's a free gift. I want to give it to you. Do you want to accept it? And by faith, you reach out and you receive that wonderful gift of grace. It's not how bad you are or have ever been. It's not how good you are or that you've ever been. It's God's grace, God's gift to you of life everlasting, of eternal life. And it causes me by faith to believe that Jesus Christ is who that he said he is. Let me tell you, I believe in Jesus's virgin birth. I believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, that he is both God and was both man, and that he was the sinless Son of God, pure blood. Otherwise, he would have never been able to take away the sins of the world. I believe he died at Calvary over there outside the city of Jerusalem on a cruel, rugged cross between two thieves. And I believe that when Jesus died that and gave up that last breath and he said, "Te telestai," it is finished. He paid sin's price once and for all. He's not coming back to do it again, folks. Jesus was buried. Jesus was placed in a borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, Jesus arose victoriously over death, hell, and the grave. He walked the earth the next 40 days, making post-resurrection appearances so that his disciples could see that he was who he said he was. And then he ascended back to heaven. And those disciples saw him. And the angel said, "You men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, will come in so like manner as you have seen him go." Let me tell you, the Bible says he sat down at the right hand of the Father in heaven. What is he doing this morning? The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. Let me tell you, aren't you grateful for that this morning? And he told those disciples, "Wait, tarry in Jerusalem until the Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit." And 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, Peter was preaching. Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. And that's why I believe Jesus appeared to Peter after the resurrection to let him know that he loved him. And let me tell you, you and I am confident of the fact because I know our humanity. I'll sign the top of the line first, that all of us many times in life, we deny him. Oh, we don't call it denial. But let me tell you, when we're disobedient to his word, that's as good as saying we're denying him because we're not following his principles and his commandments and his precepts. I want you to know, John was writing to dispel all of these issues of false prophets. And let me tell you, he says in verse 6, "We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood." Now, I don't know about you, but you can determine whether or not a group is a cult, not only by its leader, but also by its followers. Not only by the people who lead, but by the people who listen. People who love the Word of God and believe in the fundamentals of the faith are going to listen to a preacher who preaches, teaches, and proclaims, "Thus saith the Lord." I believe this is the standard of truth. I shared with someone the other day in a grieving situation. And a question was being asked to me, "What did I do?" And I won't use the term to set God off. What did I do? Folks, let me tell you, my response was this: I don't know that you did anything, but I know this: if you abort your faith, what have you? What do you have? What have you got to look forward to? You just are born all of a sudden one day. You just evolved from a monkey somewhere. You grew up, you lost your tail, and then you worked and you labored. You got old, you got sick, and you died. What sense does that make? I think it takes more faith to believe the other way than it does what I believe, that Jesus Christ is alive, Jesus Christ is real. Jesus Christ died for the sins of mankind. He will not force his way. That's why the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's knocking. But he's not pressing inside unless you open the door and ask him to come in to your heart and your life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, false Christ and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if it were possible. If the Holy Spirit lives within you this morning and you are doing your best to try to do what the Holy Spirit wants you to do, I can assure you the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. In 1 John 2, chapter 26 and 27, I'm writing these things. 1 John chapter 2, verse 26 and 27. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and all that, as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit that comes into your heart and your life. When Gabe received Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and came and made that profession to us last Sunday morning and followed Christ in believers' baptism this morning, the Holy Spirit of Jesus, as soon as he invited Jesus in, the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus comes to live within his heart through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God's insulation within us that keeps the truth in and it keeps the lies out. The Holy Spirit is God's alarm clock that goes off every time that you hear something that you know is contrary to God's word and you know that it is not true. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit this morning who leads us into all truth. And when you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Someone said the greatest friend of truth is time. Jesus will be around long after the cults have left this world and been judged and condemned to everlasting separation, fire, and brimstone from Almighty God. Let me tell you, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Psalm 119:89 says, your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Let me tell you, young people, you're growing up in a different world than I had to grow up in. But I want you to know this morning, if you will cling to the old rugged cross, if you will set your heart on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, because there'll be a lot of times in life you won't understand a lot of things. I don't either. But it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Young people, I want you to know this morning, there are people out there that are going to tell you the Bible is a bunch of fairy tales. I want you to know, don't believe them. Jesus is alive. Jesus is well. Jesus is reigning as the sovereign and supreme of this universe. And Jesus is coming back one of these days. Let me tell you, the Bible, his word, I believe, is the inspired, the inerrant word of God. I believe that it stands eternally in the heavens. And let me tell you, that can be your compass. He will be your guide through life if you will put your faith and trust in him all the days of your life. Adults, the same applies to all of us. Let me tell you, truth. We live in a world, truth versus non-truth. Do you know the truth? Would you stand as we pray together this morning?